listening to Get Sports Radio.
Get Sports Info Podcast. It is episode number 32, Monday Night Quarterback, Week 7 edition, coming your way on October the 23rd, just around 9 o'clock Eastern. Dan Klaskin's with you here, and coming your way as I do every Monday night during the Monday Night Football game, breaking down the week that was, getting you ready for the week that will be. You can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Get it anytime. GetSportsInfo.com. That's the home of that. You can get the blog there, our GSI cheat sheet, all the rankings, studs, duds, and sleepers, and plenty more of great content. But you can also find my stuff at Pro Football Focus, the exclusive home of my rankings, as well as all my written content for fantasy. I'm also Saturday mornings on Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210 XM 87, 10 a.m. Eastern with Fantastics Insider Football. My good friend James Adams hosts with me there, and really happy that you're tuned in here. We're getting ready to reach that midway point of the fantasy football season, and it was another week filled with injuries, disappointments, breakouts. We got plenty to talk about. We're going to get to it as quickly as possible. Let's just dive right in. Special programming note. We'll be coming at you a day early with the Fantasy Happy Hour this week. Instead of Friday afternoon, I'm going to be doing that on Thursday night. So a little extra time for you to listen. Might not be as dialed into some of the injuries and stuff, but I have another commitment that day. Be actually heading on a Keeneland bus trip. So heading down to the Keeneland Racetrack, one of my favorite places, and enjoying some ponies to close out the meet down there. But nonetheless, we'll take care of you before then. You can, of course, always get me on Twitter, at Dan Klaskins. You really want my advice, guaranteed response, and all the intimate help you need down the stretch? Well, I invite you to sign up for our email coach service, less than $1 a week. And I'll basically help you set your lineups. Email coach available. Check out email advice there on the tab under fantasy at getsportsinfo.com. Let's dive into some week 7 news and notes. We'll, of course, get to the injuries. We're going to hand out some game balls. Before we get out of here, we'll take our first look at that week 8 waiver wire. Actually participated in a waiver wire article at Fantasy Pros, one of the analysts there. You can check that out. I retweeted that as well. But right now, let's dive into just some opening observations, what we learned. And I mean, it was brutal for Bengal fan like myself. Not because they got beat by the Steelers. I mean, I was sort of expecting that. But man, they did not get Joe Mixon the football. That is the path to beat Pittsburgh. They tried to do it with Andy Dalton. It resulted in a big fat dub there. And Joe Mixon did not even get a single touch after halftime. So pretty disappointing on the Steelers side in that one. You got this developing drama with Martavis Bryant, Juju Smith-Schuster, and I mean, Bryant just not handling himself well. Smith-Schuster, the rookie, getting a touchdown. He's actually out-targeted Bryant 13-12 over the last few weeks here. So continuing to make some noise today. I mean, Martavis Bryant, if he's on your season-long team, unless you're in a deep league where you can afford that stash, it's getting harder and harder to actually put him on there. And I think the same could be said about Mike Gillisley. I mean, wow. Here you go. Deion Lewis continuing to take away carries. And outside his week one multi-touchdown performance, Gillisley has been pretty much useless. I'm actually going to dump him in one of the leagues where I have him this week as a salary cap cut, because I mean, his values is not really going there. He's very touchdown dependent. Speaking of touchdowns, congratulations goes out to both LeSean McCoy and Julio Jones, both first round picks that actually got their first touchdowns of the season in week 7. Way to go, fellas. Glad I don't have a single share of you, Mr. McCoy, and just one of you, Mr. Jones, in my 13 season long leagues. News wasn't good in Arizona. We're going to get to injuries in a minute, but we'll, you know, talk about the Carson Palmer situation here. And of course, he breaks his arm in an England game over there, and did not turn out well. Looking like an extended absence ahead here for Palmer. He's hopeful now, this report coming out here tonight, that he could return in 4 to 6 weeks. He's gone for a second opinion here on Monday. The initial timeline was 8 weeks. Drew Stanton looked terrible I would venture to guess Blaine Gabbert's going to get a look at this sooner rather than later. But after already losing David Johnson, here's a team that was even as early as a week ago with Adrian Peterson's resurgence. Oh, man, maybe they can get one last run. But the loss of Palmer and the backups that will come in, that's Larry Fitzgerald is a flex play at best at this point. I think you're looking at a very volatile situation that got a lot worse with Adrian Peterson behind a terrible offensive line that's now, of course, going to have defenses stacking that box and pretty much any other part of this offense. I don't care. Either the Browns, the Nelson, they're all done. You can't play these guys right now. So not looking good there. Not looking good in Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers either. I was a little optimistic that Hundley could get a little bit done. He wasn't terrible. I mean, the shining point of all of it was the 17 carries for 131 yards there turned in by one Aaron Jones. And, I mean, I think it's pretty clear to me that he's taken over here, out-snapping Ty Montgomery 44-7 in this contest. And for the second time in 3 weeks, Jones has looked pretty superb here. I think he is definitely an RB2 candidate. And I think Montgomery is in flex leagues, maybe still worth a bench spot. But even there, he's a bye week filler at best. As for the receivers, I mean, you can go ahead and cut Cobb and Martellus Bennett, I think. I think Davante Adams is falling down into that flex range as well. And Jordy Nelson, a touchdown dependent wide receiver, too. Not good at all. And the Saints defense, I think, is a little underrated. So we'll give it some time. But, you know, as far as the Packers go, it looks like Aaron Jones, the guy that really the only one that I can get excited about as a starting option right now from this lineup. So the Broncos offense, a different story. C.J. Anderson, he continues to struggle. I wrote about it in my latest article at ProFootballFocus.com. You can get it tomorrow, my weekly stock watch report there. But, I mean, this offense, the Broncos, they started out 2-0. But since then, they've dropped three of their last four games, just 36 points during that span. Put that in perspective, during the same amount of games, the Cleveland Browns have scored 47 points. That's 9 more points than this Broncos offense that's just been decimated by injuries. They've been decimated on the offensive line. They're decimated at receiver. And Trevor Siemian on the verge of potentially being benched here. I mean, what are they going to do? Turn to Brock Osweiler? And C.J. Anderson couldn't take advantage of a great matchup. I mean, the final numbers, if you look at them, not bad. 44 yards, 10 carries, another 17 receiving on a catch. But 33 of those 51 yards came on his last three touches. It was miserable early on, and he barely got more touches than Charles and Booker. 6 more than Booker and just 3 more than Charles. They had 8 and 5 respectively. Anderson ended up with just those 11 touches. And really, the math's pretty simple there if you're the Denver Broncos. 20-plus touches in a game for C.J. Anderson, and the Broncos are 3-0. Under 20 touches, they're 0-3. Getting him that type of volume is key, but they have to move the chains to do so, and they have to get more out of Anderson early in the game on those early downs before the game flow takes him out of it. Let's look at some of the latest injuries. Of course, we've already talked about the Carson Palmer situation. That's the big one. I think Jay Cutler, another injury, out 2 to 3 weeks now. You can go ahead and get him out because Thursday night they play, and there's no way he's going to be ready for that matchup. So we're already sort of counting counting him out of there. And Matt Moore, to be honest, I mean, this is a guy they probably should have given a look a couple weeks ago here, but, you know, they've been committed to Cutler. This is Moore's chance. He rallied him back from down 14 in this game, and, you know, it brought some life to this offense. So it makes you have to wonder, you know, is he going to just keep this job right now? And I did like the connection there with Kenny Stills. He finished with a pair of touchdowns yesterday. And in that comeback effort, making the most of his opportunities is what he did. And 6 of his 9 targets he pulled in, 2 touchdown scores in this comeback. And here's the thing, man. Him and Matt Moore, they get along. 2 touchdowns yesterday together. He actually scored a touchdown in all 3 of Matt Moore's starts last year. So with Devontae Parker, Hobble, Moore in there, Stills a guy I'm looking at for sure. One of my favorite waiver wire pickups at that position this week. But we'll see. I'm anxious to see if Matt Moore can hold on to this job now. As far as Devontae Parker, he's going to probably try to practice tomorrow. If he doesn't, he probably won't play. He's already missed 2 straight with an ankle. I could see him easily missing a third here. Other injuries of note in the Titans-Browns game, some stuff going down there. Of course, DeMarco Murray, he's dinged up again. Now it's his shoulder. It's considered minor, but And the 29-year-old's body is just breaking down in front of us here. He's trying to play through it. I think they should have given him the day off yesterday, let him rest with the bye. Better news, though, for rookie Corey Davis of the Titans. The first-round pick expected to resume practicing next Monday as they return from their bye. He hasn't played since week two, but you know, here's a guy that could still make an impact in deeper leagues. Maybe you take a look at him. He's got big playmaking ability. And also, we're keeping our eyes on Titans tight end Delanie Walker. Diagnosed with a bone bruise. It looked like a pretty bad ankle injury. So this is a positive sign. The bye week coming at the right time for him. Week 8, it looks like we could see Emmanuel Sanders get a chance to return. He's day-to-day right now, so we're going to keep our eyes on him. The Broncos could certainly use all the weapons they could get here. No doubt about that. And I think if you look at Sanders, he's a guy that, if he's back in, fantasy owners have to consider him in that wide receiver 3 flex range for sure with some upside. And, we hope indeed that that can happen. Golden Tate, he didn't practice on Monday, so no concrete table for him, but we're looking at a multi-week absence there as well for sure. It doesn't look good for this week, and I would say, I'd be surprised if he comes back next week. So life without him is going good. Sharkhandrick West expected to return this week with a concussion issue. Pretty devastating injury to Browns left tackle Joe Thomas. Torn triceps, injured reserve. You're talking about a guy that had played every single snap of his career. So seeing this go down was just sort of brutal. Over 10,000 consecutive snaps there. And a quintessential pro. A streak like this we'll never see again. And it's just a disappointing end to his day. But, it is the nature of the game. The Cowboys, they lost their kicker, Dan Bailey, with a groin. He's expected to miss several weeks. And, it's the kicker game is a revolving door. The Cowboys now going to work out Jason Myers, Mike Nugent, and Young Ho Koo, among others. But not good news there indeed. So there's some of the injuries, not as bad as other weeks. Still some names to track, some situations to monitor, and that's what we do for you here. Let's go ahead and move over to our Week 7 game balls, looking at some of those top performances of the week. And plenty of good ones to talk about. We'll start at quarterback. Got to give my game ball to Derek Carr at the position. 417 through the air, 3 touchdowns. A big game on Thursday night. He looks great. I think Dak Prescott continues to amaze. 3 touchdowns through the air, 1 on the ground, torch the Niners. And how about Jameis Winston? Let's give him a game ball as well. And, here he was, a sprained AC joint in his throwing shoulder, turning his best game of the season. Season high, 46 attempts, completed 32 of his passes for 384 yards and 3 touchdowns. And, those owners that risked pulling the trigger on him, they certainly were rewarded. And he's just getting it done. I think Jameis Winston definitely had a big day there. Lots of weapons and continuing to put up some pretty decent numbers and doing so quietly. So moving over to some of our running back game balls. Who are we going to give a game ball this week to? Well, you got to give one to Ezekiel Elliott. Better give him one before he's out. But 3 total touchdowns. He was the best rushing performance of the week. 147 yards on 26 carries. Added a 72-yard touchdown catch and go with his 2 rushing scores. And Aaron Jones, he's getting a game ball too. We talked about him before, but I love what the rookie did. 17 carries, 131 yards and a touch. Not a bad day at all. RB4, McCoy, he had a pretty good game. 2 touchdowns, his first 2 of the season. And Todd Gurley breaks 100 yards on the ground. He scores as well. He'll get our final game ball at the running back position. Let's move over to receivers. Got a few of those to hand out. We'll acknowledge Amari Cooper for finally doing something. 19 targets. He only caught 11 of them. A lot of volume, though, equals a lot of stats. 210 through the air, 2 touchdowns. Tough to beat that. Kenny Stills has a pair of touchdowns as well. 6 catches on 9 targets, 85 yards. And Julio Jones, how about we give you a game ball for finally scoring? 9 catches, 99 yards, and a touchdown there. My tight end game ball of the week. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give that to O.J. Howard, the rookie, scoring twice, 98 yards, 6 catches to boot, all 6 of his targets. Still saw more targets go to his teammate Cameron Brate, who also finished in the top 15 at the position, but this was the week for Howard to score the touchdowns. He gets our game ball there and definitely a worthy guy to get it. So time for the game you sock. The game you sock. Who stunk it up the most? Well, there's a lot of guys to consider here, but I'm going to the running back position, and I'm giving my game you sock to one Ty Montgomery. All the Packers have seen in life without Aaron Rodgers their fantasy value drop, but for Montgomery, I think it's also about the arrival of Aaron Jones. We talked about him being a game ball. Montgomery gets just 5 touches in this contest, 2 targets, turns it into 1 catch for 9 yards, just 4 rushing attempts for 6 yards. 1.5 points is all he gets in a standard league. And, I mean, you know, 1 catch for 9 yards isn't helping in a PPR league either. Ty Montgomery, you get this week's stinky, you suck, and it's not getting any better, even in PPR leagues. Over the last 3 games, now granted, in week 4 he was injured against Chicago, but in week 6, 7, and that game collectively in PPR leagues, you're talking about a player now with about 11.5 total fantasy points. Let's look at the waiver wire for week 8. Our first glimpse, position by position, the guys I like you should be able to target. And let's get some updates. I think with Carson Palmer out, if you were looking at him, you probably already had a decent quarterback, so that's a good news. But Tyrod Taylor, don't look now. Still playing really good. Getting it done on the ground as well. Liked him this week. He was my sleeper. Like his mobility. Not going to put up monster numbers, but a nice replacement with a decently high ceiling, especially if they can get some more receivers producing. Jordan Matthews getting healthy. Deontay Thompson looking good in his first game in Buffalo. Like him. I like Jared Goff still out there as a flyer. You know, some decent matchups ahead here. And on top of that, you know, a team that just looks good. I mean, I think they're going to win this division now. Now, he's got a bye this week, so you want to keep that in mind. At the running back position, not getting overly excited about what I saw from Latavius Murray. But if Marlon Mack is still out there in your league, this is a guy I'm running after. It's probably gone in most leagues, but if he's not, he's my first choice. I think as the season drags on here and the Colts play for nothing, you'll get more and more touches. Had the same amount of them yesterday. Caught the 34-yard pass. Gives that big playability and upside. I think the carries will come. As far as other running backs in this pinch, I think you could go to DeAndre Washington with Marshawn Lynch suspended for a game. Jalen Richard also could see something there. But Dante Foreman, the Houston Texan rookie, bye week, week 7, could see an increased workload. I think he's worth a bench stash, a guy I'm looking at. And, of course, you know, I mean, I think you could do worse than stashing a guy on an offense putting up points like the Texans. The tight end, I mean, we talked about O.J. Howard. I guess he'll be the popular name. There's really not a lot else out there at the position. Pop it to me. I think there's a lot of receivers to look at, though. We talked about Kenny Stills. I think Robert Woods stays on my list. You know, he continues to see, you know, 6 to 8 targets now, 5 straight weeks. They got the Giants coming up in week 9 after the bye. Not the best matchup, but Woods definitely earning the trust of Jared Goff. And I think Juju Smith-Schuster, the rookie, continuing to get it done. Got a touchdown versus the Bengals, and with Martavis Bryant on in the doghouse here, I think the rookie continues to see more and more opportunities. You'll see more and more opportunities of the podcast if you subscribe. You can do so on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Get it anytime, getsportsinfo.com, and of course you can hit me on Twitter at Dan Claskins. I'm fresh out of time tonight and fresh out of breath, so we're going to take a break now. We'll be back later in the week with our Fantasy Happy Hour, Week 8 edition. Stay tuned for that. Until then, thanks for listening to the Get Sports Info Podcast.